The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I guess the standard thing would be to say that I hope all of you had a nice, happy, warm Christmas holiday. And I do. I do wish that. But I know that many of you didn't. And that's not your fault. We have been set up and victimized, and we are being taken down. And that is a Western world agenda item right now. Europe, the U.S., you know the rest. And if you keep your eye on the Deagle.com projections, we're not going to get a count through the mainstream media. Just understand that. They will continue to lie until there is no more mainstream media. They don't call it programming for nothing. We're being programmed. We're being lied to. And so that's why 70 to 80% of Americans have taken the shot. Now, we have a story. Erica and I will be with you in the second hour, of a 17-year-old kid who took one shot. Now, I don't mean to scare you. You know I don't like that. I hate that. But I'm not going to lie to anybody. This kid took one shot. I don't know if it was Pfizer or Moderna. A year ago, I'd guess Pfizer. And he fell over dead on Christmas Eve. Or was it Christmas? Either one. We'll have details next hour. But the bottom line is a lot of people are honestly suffering. And they are in grief. And it has been done to them. And all of you who are suffering, this is your alleged government. It's not a government. This is the World Economic Forum. This is the monstrosities that are running these pharmaceutical companies. And don't forget that it's not Pfizer and Moderna that came up with this stuff. It was the Department of Defense, your Defense Department. It's a bioweapon. It has nothing to, how many times have I said this? This has nothing to do with a vaccination, nothing to do with the public health. And I'm seeing more and more people begin to say that now. I've seen an astounding turnaround in some of these so-called alt-media icons who are allegedly bringing the truth. Well, a couple months ago, they were all saying, graphene oxide, graphene oxide. Yes, graphene oxide. Now they're saying what we've been saying here. Oh, no, it's a bioweapon. Well, where have they been? We've been saying this for a year and a half. or more. So, whatever. Anyhow, for those of you who have been carrying the grief in your hearts from losing people or personally being sick with walking around with pain in your heart and your chest all day and all night, or suffering from CJD and you're not thinking clearly anymore, or simply by virtue of having been injected with this shit, excuse me, deadly stuff, that it goes into your brainstem. We're going to talk about this next hour as well, and begins to interrupt with the autonomic nervous system of your body, which I've been saying and suggesting, and I think Eric agrees, that there is reason to believe that many of these people who are dying suddenly, falling over dead, face planting on concrete, whatever, this is a bioelectric issue. This is an issue where the switch is thrown and your heart just stops beating. How could the switch be thrown? Because the S protein, the spike, goes into your central nervous system. It loves the neurology of your body, and especially the brainstem, and it microclots and starts killing neurons and nerve cells. And if it kills the ones that signal your heart to beat or your lungs to breathe, you die right then, right there, right now. This is not an issue of building up protein clots, which we know happens also. This is another issue entirely. As we have said for such a long time, coming up on 2 years, this thing has so many ways of killing people. It is anti-life in so many fashions. It's not even remotely funny. It's astounding. It's almost science fiction. And I have my own thoughts about how this may have come about to a degree. But we do know it's a Department of Defense bioweapon. Department of Defense doesn't do public health. It's not under its purview. All right, so that said, I do hope all of you, even those in grief, had a few moments, perhaps in memory, of good times, warm times, happy times, family times. I do hope that for each and every one of you. All right, we are back. It is Tuesday. And first up tonight, he was supposed to be on second hour, but he was kind enough to jump in on the first hour, Frosty Wooldridge. Hello, my friend. How's everything at 8,000 feet in the Rockies? How are you?
Jeff, thank you very much. And, yeah, it's pretty nice here at 8,000 feet in the Rockies. It was 55 degrees today. I actually went out and rode my bicycle. Snowbanks on the left and snowbanks on the right, but the roads were clear, so it was all good.
Wow. 55. No. What the hell?
It was 67 in Denver, and you lose 3 to 5 degrees per 1,000 feet. Uh-huh. And so Denver's at 5,200 feet, and I'm at 8,000 feet, so you can you lose, you know, up to 15 degrees. So it was 67 in Denver, so it was 55.
Well, where did the Polar Express go? Just right on down the track? Kept going?
Yeah, just, you know, one of the things that's really amazing about Colorado is the big fronts come in, they drop their snow on the Continental Divide, which literally I can see from my front yard.
Good.
And that, and it's always an extraordinary sight. I see the Continental Divide every day, and it runs 13, 14,000 feet, and it's snow-capped right now with a blue sky background, and it's extraordinary. And at the same time, those fronts come in and they blow out onto the plains, yeah, and blue, yeah, skies come again, and then the temperatures go up and the snow melts like crazy. And so it's pretty nice. It doesn't melt, of course, after 9, 10, 11, 12,000 feet. It stays pretty snowy, pretty cold, and all that goes with it. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can actually bicycle, you can go skiing in the morning in Colorado. You can come back in the afternoon, and you can either play golf or you can ride your bicycle. So that's the amazing thing about the Colorado Rockies.
Or you can count illegal aliens, whatever you want to do.
Well, you can do a whole bunch. As a matter of fact, they're streaming into Denver Mayor Hancock, who is an open borders advocate, along with the two senators, Michael.
You got another communist? Colorado's gone.
Oh, yeah. Colorado is no longer a red state. It's a completely blue state. Jared Polis is a Democrat, open borders advocate, and was as a House member. Same thing with Michael Bennett, who has a Ph.D., and I think it's a Ph.D. in absolute moronics, because he is absolutely and totally incompetent. And John Hickenlooper, who was also mayor of Denver at one point, then became the governor, also sanctuary state governor, and now a sanctuary state senator. And for those of you, notice you will not be watching any of this invasion on the southern border, because NBC, ABC, CBS, certainly NPR or PBS will not report on it. But they just had, I think, 18,000. They're expecting 18,000 people a day with this loss of Title 42. But even that's a joke, because they kick a few out and they let 10,000. In fact, I think yesterday 14,000 people were released into the United States, and they're being bused and or flown all over our country. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know this, you are paying, and I have the figures, and I'm going to write a piece for rents.com under my category of $338 billion a year in state and federal expenses for all of these illegal aliens. And it's going to get worse, because in the month of November, there were 240,000 illegal aliens that jumped our borders and got into the United States, and that's the ones we know got away, probably another million.
Invaders.
Oh, yeah, they're invaders.
These invaders. Yeah. Look, we're being invaded. And unfortunately, this is all being aided and abetted by the communist, Bolshevik, Marxist, Zionist scum that is pretending to be a government. We've been overthrown. There's no question. None. You can't argue it. It's inarguable. We have been overthrown, and this alleged government is steering us over the cliff. That's the game. That's what the plan is. They're doing it, and no one's stopping them. We sent back 100% of all the United States senators who were running for re-election. 100%, including that little closet freak, Lindsey Graham, and you name it. The communocrats are running the country.
They're
the communist Democrats. Yeah.
And they're succeeding. Most of the incumbents were put back in that have caused everything that's going on. You know, and one of the things I would like everyone to appreciate, as you were just stating before we came together, I worked in the medical profession as a cardiac catheterization medical tech, so I really know how doctors operate. And one of the things about the AMA is that every year, around 105,000 to 110,000 Americans die from prescription drugs made out by doctors. In other words, the doctor prescribes a drug, and first they diagnose you, they prescribe a drug, it's a symptom-stomping drug, and if that doesn't work, they then will cut on you. And so you get to be a victim of the AMA, the American Medical Association, because the AMA is in cahoots with the pharmaceuticals. And after all of these decades of over 100,000 Americans dying from reaction to a prescription drug, the AMA has never done anything to get any of those drugs that are killing all of those Americans off the market. The drugs are there. They're still there. I'll give you another example. Heart disease. Everyone, and of course, heart disease is killing Americans, I think it's a million a year. And yet, the AMA will not provide any guidance to American citizens to avoid Wendy's, McDonald's, Arby's, Pizza Hut. Little Caesar, all of the garbage food outlets that are out there, especially Carl's Jr. I see these ads for Carl's Jr. It's a heart attack hamburger is what it is, mm-hmm. along with a Big mm-hmm. Mac is a heart attack hamburger. Mm-hmm. And you can't get decent food into the high schools and or the mm-hmm. elementary schools because those people in power that want to bring these kids the garbage food and get them hooked on sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, your child is eating 140 pounds of sugar every year, and that continues through adulthood. So that when you get cancer, instead of healthy foods that would prevent cancer, that would create mm-hmm. an alkaline pH in your body, which I think we've talked about before.
Yes.
Instead, you get chemo. You don't get any directions from to the parents or to the schools to give healthy food.
You get nuked, too.
Oh, of course, you get radiation. But so, guess how much the American Medical Association makes on chemotherapy? $92 billion a year. When it could all be completely eliminated yeah. if you simply ate a nutritionally organic,
right.
close to the earth diet.
That would do it in most cases, unless you've got some genetic problem. The other problem is if you've gotten shot up with this Department of Defense bioweapon, that suppresses the P53 gene and other issues that are anti-carcinogenic in the body.
Right.
And you don't have that ability anymore. And that's why these cancers are being called turbo cancers. They're running loose all over the body. They're not even being diagnosed until people have stage 4 cancers. I mean, it's laughable.
Right.
It's all been done. It's part of this weapon. It was carefully designed. And there are several dozen ways that it will lead to the end of your life prematurely and unfortunately through various and sundry means that can be described as nothing less than agony. These are agony deaths. They're horrible deaths. Look, Iatrid, before they started rolling out, this will be the third year now. We're starting our third year of these so-called vaccines pretty soon. Iatrogenic death, iatrogenesis in the U.S., is the death caused by misused medications or high-risk surgical procedures that go awry, death by doctor, iatrogenesis, all right? Now, that kind of has been supplanted with anyone who's taken these injections. As I mentioned, a 17-year-old kid, I think it was Christmas, he just died, and he had one shot. He was doing fine, so I felt fine. It's not that he necessarily, I don't know, he didn't have an autopsy yet, but he doesn't need to have a blocked artery or vein. This is an electrical thing. We're electrical first. You put spike proteins in the brainstem. What happens? It starts to microclot. It kills cells. It kills the neurology that directs your body how to survive, how to have a heartbeat, how to have lungs that operate on cue. These are electrical cues. If we had to remember to make our heartbeat, we'd forget. We'd just die. But these things are cutting off the bioelectric signals to make your heart beat. So you've got something worse than iatrogenic death now. You got death by bioweapon. That's what's going on. Sorry. Very sorry.
Well, it's not only going on, it's being hidden at the same time. The CDC is not going to tell you about any of this.
No.
You know, and again, having been in the medical profession, And I got to see firsthand how it operates and how doctors operate and how the AMA operates. There is no reason for diabetes in this country.
Good for you. Thank you. You're 100%
correct. There's no reason for diabetes.
No.
If you eat a healthy diet from the time you're a child right on through your life,
right.
you're not going to get, you know, type 2 diabetes. You're not going to get type 1 diabetes. It literally is a consumption of junk food crisis, and I love to see the movies. Sandy and I love to see the movies, and I just saw Avatar. It was a stunningly picturesque, extraordinary film.
Isn't it, Frosty? Excuse me. Is this a second Avatar movie?
Yes, it's actually based in the water. The bad guys came back to the planet Pandora, and so then the guy that became an avatar himself, he married the one other female avatar. They had four kids, and then the bad guys came back, and he said they're chasing him down. So he took to his little dragons, and they flew out across the sea, and they landed in some Polynesian islands or whatever. With some more avatars who were.
Well, don't ruin the movie for anybody. I didn't see the first one. I don't go to movies, but whatever.
It's a glorious and beautiful movie from just the visuals. Oh, and it's 3 hours long, 3 hours and 15 minutes, and you get to see all the traits of humanity and all the traits of what's going on. You know, certainly. With ruining the resources and just expending the natural world and sacrificing the natural world. And so anyway, but when you go into the movie, what's the first thing you see? It has a giant open a bottle of Coca-Cola for happiness.
Junk.
And then have a big giant bowl of a bag of trans fats popcorn. And then a bunch of candy bars.
It's a feed bag. I look at it like it's a feed bag on a horse. They might as well just put it around your neck with a little elastic band, and you don't even have to pick it up with your fingers. You just put your face in it.
That's pretty much the way it is. And so then it has another one that comes on. You got to have a Mountain Dew. I mean, I can't think, you know, Mountain Dew, a Pepsi, and a Coca-Cola. I can't think of anything more poisonous. And for those of you who have read my category of my journals there in Rents for the last 20 years, there's one that you can go back into the records, the detriments of soda pop. I mean, like there's 20 consequences to drinking a soda pop, and they're long-term. And again, diabetes is one of the results of eating so poorly, and yet the American people are fed nothing but advertisements, you know, eat Doritos. Doritos are corn GMO. They have all of these chemicals. They have all of these salts. They're not real food, but have a Dorito and a Mountain Dew. And you can watch the ball game and then eat a Pizza Hut pizza with pepperoni, and the nitrates in the pepperoni interact with the synthetic chemicals such as sucralose and the synthetic chemicals like aspartame, and you're just simply poisoning your body. And we're talking millions, and the majority of Americans are doing that, and that's why the American...
Slow burn suicide.
Slow burn suicide. They're so fat, they can hardly move, and it's a crisis of unparalleled nightmares for losing your loved ones. You know, the 105,000 to 110,000 people who die from prescription drugs year after year, and you sit there, and now they want to give us the mRNA, they want us to give a vaccination. In fact, there was a big network executive, I'm not sure, on ABC, NBC. He was 37 years old, and he just died of a heart attack.
A producer.
Producer.
Died suddenly.
You don't die suddenly at 37. You die because somebody injected something into you that literally reacted to and literally caused the entire body to go into, whether it's cardiosis, or you can go right on down the line. As a fact, my brother Rex, who lives in Bergen, Norway, said people are dropping in the streets from all these vaccinations.
Okay. All right. Well, not a surprise. Not a surprise. They're not all dying of amyloid clots either, which take time to form. I think that if you understand, and we've made this point many, many times, the spike protein, otherwise known as the S protein, has a real strong affinity for your neurology, your nervous system. It likes to go into the nerves. And what does it do in there? It begins to microclot. And that means it shuts down the blood flow through the capillaries that feed the nerves, and the nerves die. And the nerves do not replenish themselves like overnight. There's a slow, Some people say that they come back over years, but they no. When they shut them down, they're gone. Two tissues in the body, the brain tissue and the heart tissue, do not regenerate. The neurology is a very bad thing to have any S-protein involvement with. It'll stop it. So that's what's going on. People's main switch, their autonomic nervous system, is being shut off. And they're dead instantly. Dead. This thing is so evil and so insidious, it defies adequate description. Hold on, Frosty, just for a minute. We have to pause. We'll come right back. And for those of you here in the U.S. who don't understand that the government's been overthrown by the Bolshevik, communist, Zionist, Marxist, pedophile, subhuman slime that is occupying the White House, you need to take another look at this whole game. We're toast. We've given over $150 billion. I'm getting some feedback, Todd. I don't know if it's me. I'm getting it from Frosty somehow, but we've given over $150 billion to these dirtbag Zionists who are running Ukraine at the behest of international globalist Bolshevik Marxist Zionist pedophiles, etc., etc., and the World Economic Forum. We know generally who the people are. So we've got a country that's taken $150 billion. Now they're giving them $45 billion more. That's $200 billion. That's 20% of a trillion. What do you think that might have done to help this country? The homeless, for example, or the infrastructure, for example? $200 billion wasted. And no one's saying anything. What demonstrations have you seen complaining about this? None. There's no way to rehabilitate this government. It has to be removed and start over again. These people are all despicable. Yeah, you might throw out a few good ones here and there. Not many. We have to start over with term limits and a real election. But it's not going to happen. I don't mean to be negative, but those of you listening in other countries who have other geopolitical systems are probably seeing similar things. Corruption is corruption. Criminality is criminality. It doesn't matter where it is or what label it's hanging under. It's all run by evil people. These are not nice people. There are evil, demonic spirits on this planet, and many of them, I firmly believe, are absolutely embedded in these people we look at as our, quote, leaders. And now we know, if you saw the story the other day about the latex masks, the CIA woman who was in charge of latex masks, she said, it's a done deal. You can't tell the difference. And I've said on occasion that certain pictures of Biden show a mask. This is a mask. This is not him. You can look at it. The hair is different. There are little things that will get you. The earlobes are different. They're not connected in some of them. Some are. So we're being lied to on a scale that is unimaginable. And this goes for all of you around the world and other countries. Your governments are lying to you in most cases. Anyhow, go ahead, Frosty, please.
Okay, Jeff, what I'd like to do, I actually wrote exactly a column that's going to publish in Rinse tomorrow called The Ironies of 2022 in America and around the world. Uh-huh. About, you have leaders like Kim Jong-un, who is a madman. You also have somebody like Vladimir Putin, who is killing countless lives, children, you name it, in this war. And my heart goes out to them. And we're going to debate that in the coming months. This is the end of the year, and I would like to share a positive ending for the year, unless I come back on Thursday night too. But I think this is important, that even with all these things happening, we, the American people, certainly the Canadian people, all the European people, even in South Africa, certainly over in Australia, I think it's important to give thanks. And so I wrote a letter this Christmas, and Christmas was just 2 days ago. And I would love to see everyone who hears this letter to write a letter themselves. And this is a letter of thanks to my dad. Is that okay that I give this letter out, Jeff?
Absolutely. Please. Oh, yes.
Thank you. Because we are so fortunate, and we have been blessed, and America is still an extraordinary country. We may have inept and incompetent, in this case, senile leaders. We may have corrupt swamp there in D.C. At the same time, we have a chance to change it. And the one thing that I think is important is a letter of thanks to your dad and or your mother. So this Christmas, I am sending a letter to my father for his gifts to me. I hope this letter inspires you to call or send a letter to each of your parents to appreciate them for their loving and caring for you every single day of your life. In America, all of us enjoy such enormous blessings not found in places like Africa, Asia, Mexico, South America, Middle East, Indochina, and many other less fortunate places in the world. Dear Dad, it's been 58 years since you drew your last breath on this planet. That moment you left, my heart stood still. With your passing, my mind dropped into a lower gear. My spirit, usually up because of your guidance and constant encouragement, deflated. My sense of the world became senseless. There was no question that my life became a slow slog through a painful emotional swamp. And I have a picture of my dad in his Marine uniform. He was a U.S. Marine during World War II and also in Korea, Master Sergeant Howard Wooldridge. As a side note, my father was umpiring a baseball game from behind the plate in Albany, Georgia, last station. At the top of the second inning, he called strike three, take your base. The batter turned around confused. At that moment, my father clutched his chest plate, fell forward over the catcher, and died on home plate. His death at age 46 changed the life trajectory of my entire family. How did it happen that life chose to take you away from our family, Dad? You had four boys and a daughter to raise. You attended all of our sporting events, from baseball to basketball to football. You taught us how to swim. You taught us how to scuba dive. You taught us how to play golf. Oh, and that sport called tennis. I loved walking onto that court with you. But then you were gone. What? Why? At the funeral, I stood in a trance at seeing your lifeless body in that casket. Everybody walked by saying how handsome you were at your youthful 46 years. Yours was the last open casket funeral I ever attended. I would rather have remembered you umpiring behind the plate. I would have rather remembered playing a round of golf with you. But what really distressed me was when the preacher giving your eulogy said, God decided that Howard Wooldridge needed to be called to heaven much earlier than expected. I sat there in the pew, stunned. Why would God pull you, our father, away from our family to be in heaven when you, our father, was much needed more on earth to take care of your wife and kids? At 17, that was the last time I ever thought God made any sense, especially since you had attended church every Sunday of my entire life. You put money in the basket when you didn't have money to put in the basket. You and Mom were good, wholesome, kind, and loving couple. To take you away made no sense whatsoever. Later, I didn't blame God, but I really questioned preachers who had no idea about what they were talking about. That day of your burial still resides in my mind. What did I take away from it? Your death totally undercut the foundation of my life. With no counseling or help, I staggered forward, not knowing what to do or what to say or how to act. Honest to God, Dad, I finished my junior year in high school in a total blur. Nothing really made sense. Playing sports didn't mean much without you cheering Rex and me on from the stands. I never got to walk off the field again with you waiting to shake my hand. Son, you played a hell of a game out there tonight. Yeah, son, you played a hell of a game out there tonight. I'm proud of you, unquote. Of all your gifts, Dad, I missed that phrase. I'm proud of you, son. Years later, when I see a father and son skiing or rafting or biking together, I feel such envy. Mm-hmm. I even have gone up to them and complimented their activities together. I even tell them how lucky they are to be sharing a father-son adventure. Some look puzzled because they had no idea of what I was talking about. They took it all for granted. I remember most of the things you taught me, like, son, if you start something, you finish it. You need to maintain confidence in yourself. At your lowest point, and those moments will come in your life, look up, stand up, and be counted. Always tell the truth so you will be respected by all you meet. I can tell you this, son, Dad said. You'll face different adversaries in this life. Meet them head on, with integrity, with honor, with confidence. That way, you can always hold your head up high, unquote. Honest to God, Dad, I didn't begin to regain myself until I attended college. I became a vice president on my floor, later a secretary of the dorm. Our head resident advisor, Gary North, saw something in me. He asked me to become a resident assistant in a new dorm on complex on the campus. He unknowingly inspired me to my highest and best self. I became an excellent RA for 3 years. That's a resident assistant, leads a floor of 50 guys. Right. I earned the dean's list my last 6 quarters in college. I sure wish you could have been there when I graduated from MSU. Oh, and by the way, I visit and maintain contact with Gary North 50 years later. You said I would meet good men and women in this life. Gary and Marty North are the finest in my life. It shows you that all of us need someone to be proud of us. Yes, I became an ROTC U.S. Army officer, served to the best of my abilities, made it through the Vietnam War in one piece. Then 2 more years in college at GVSD in Allendale, Michigan, and a teaching degree. Like many foolish young men and women, I married a lovely lady, but we were totally incompatible. She liked 5-star hotels, and I would rather camp out next to a blazing fire. We divorced with no kids. That's when I used my 3 months off from teaching to bicycle across 6 continents in my lifetime. It's been great, Dad. I know you're proud of me because you've been watching my progress across South America, Australia's outback, Europe, 15 times across America, coast to coast on that bicycle, standing on the South Pole, all of Asia, and so many countries. You know what I want to thank you for, Dad? Thank you for giving me the confidence to strike out on grand adventures many times alone. I simply used the confidence you gave me, and I made it my companion. So far, so good. For certain, through the years, when I've ridden up a ski lift or biked across some lonely road or sat by a campfire or played tennis, you're there with me. I've had conversations with you in my dreams. One thing is for sure. I wish I could just have one day to talk with you, man to man, about what kind of a son you raised for the world. I'd proudly tell you about all my exploits around the world. I'd bring pictures. With all that said, Dad, I'd love to hear your story, your life, your dreams. I know that what was inside of you as a man was what you bequeathed to me as your son. Thank you from my heart, my mind, and my spirit. Also, each morning when I walk into my office, the first thing I see is an 8x10 photocopy of you in your U.S. Marine Corps uniform. I greet you, sometimes with a salute and sometimes with a good morning, Dad. Additionally, I carry your picture in my wallet. You've been all over the world with me. You've stood on the Great Wall of China, the South Pole, Machu Picchu, the Himalaya, scuba dived most of the oceans of the world, ridden across the outback, won some tennis matches, skied deep powder, canoed the Mississippi River, written 17 published books, and another 100 great moments that we've shared in this life. For the love of God, I can't thank you enough, Dad. Finally, in the latter part of my life, I met a fabulous gal named Sandy. She's a fantastic dancer. We meshed like 2 peas in a pod. It took me 7 years to ask her to marry me. Being a romantic, I asked her hand while on the dance floor with Elvis Presley's can't help falling in love with you. She said yes. And so here we are, 20 years later, still dancing, laughing, sharing, and romancing. Like you with Mom, I feel like a very lucky man. When I finally breathe my last breath, Dad, I want you to know that I made you proud. I honored you in my daily life. I know that you were never a famous man, and at the same time, you've been the highest towering figure in my life. I sure hope you're still umpiring behind the plate in heaven. You and Mom, the best a son could ask for in this life. Finally, Dad, I'm proud to be your son. Anyway, I hope every one of you listening to this Christmas letter to my dad, I hope you write one to your father and your mother, or even your best friend. I hope you write it or say it to someone that you care about or somebody that you love. I hope that you appreciate your good fortune in this life. Because each of us have so many blessings here in America, certainly in Canada, certainly in Europe, certainly in Australia, and certainly all of the free places in the world. And while there's some really big challenges for all of us, it's really not the big heroes out there like LeBron James or the big baseball stars or Tom Brady. The real heroes in your life are your parents and your grandma and your grandpa. The real heroes are your friends that you tip a beer with, or you have a game of tennis or a game of pickleball or whatever your sport is. Those are the real heroes in your life. And this Christmas, certainly the end of this 2022, I hope that each one of you makes an effort to thank them for supporting your life. I think it's a miracle. It's been said that a best friend is a miracle of the universe, because we all depend on those closest to us and those we love and who love us. Whether family or friends or whomever, foster parents, you name it. So please go out there and write that letter. And if it chokes you up a little bit and makes you cry, you're supposed to cry.
You bet.
So anyway, I want to thank you for allowing me to share that about my dad.
That was beautiful, Frosty.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And your father could not have given this tired, tawdry planet a more beautiful gift than a son like you. And I think he knows that very well. And you will see him again.
Oh, yeah.
You will.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt. He's watching. They're there.
Yeah.
And for all of you who have lost a mom or a dad too early, you have our compassion, our thoughts, and I've said many times, every day is a gift, every day is a blessing, and please, if you have someone in your life, and I hope all of you do, that you love and you cherish, you respect and you honor, make sure you tell them how you feel, because tomorrow, everything could change. And you might no longer have that opportunity. If you have someone you love, tell them, I love you. Straight away. Don't miss the opportunity. And as Frosty has done and demonstrated so magnificently, to give back to this planet in terms of goodness and kindness doesn't cost you a thing. Nothing. To not give back takes energy. It's like getting angry. It takes energy to get angry. So why? Why bother? There's no reason for it. Wonderful, wonderful letter, Frosty, and I'm sure that you reached a lot of people around this planet with that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's important. We are the human race, and we need to get along. We need to cooperate. Yeah. We need to have discussions. And I understand that most of our discussions are serious discussions, and hopefully we start solving them, these problems that we're facing. And I'm going to go full speed in 2023. I'm going to bring up, you know, the crisis of human overpopulation on the planet. I'm certainly going to go over the species extinction rates that are exploding. I'm going to talk about the invasion of our country by all these other countries and the people who are refugees. I'm going to certainly speak to those who are allowing it to happen, certainly there in Washington, D.C., and across the board, really, because the American people are simply not making much of a voice. I'm still trying to get on Anderson Cooper at CNN. I'm trying to get on Tucker Carlson. I just resent him my book. I've got new information and contacts to get on his program, Tucker Carlson Today, with what we're facing as a civilization. I'm going to stand up to the consequences of the $31 trillion debt. I'm going to stand up to the consequences of lawlessness. I'm going to be a voice for the American people, because we are all in this together. And the reality is our country is being changed. The demographic is being changed. The culture is being changed, and not for the good, but for the worst possible outcome. And so somebody has to stand up. And so I'm going to stand up best I can in 2023 and beyond. And I appreciate everyone who writes me, calls me, and we just have to move forward and do the very best we can for the United States of America, for our community, for our families, for our states, and all of our friends. And just God bless everyone, and God bless us all in 2023.
God bless us, everyone.
Everyone. Said Tiny Tim.
Yes, he did. Thank you, my friend. That was very inspiring, and I'm sure Dad is right there. I have no doubt. He heard you loud and clear.
And he probably called strike three on the batter.
That's a funny line. It is. Funny line.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right, my friend. You be well, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
That sounds great. Okay.
Okay, Frosty.
Good night.
Good night. It's really amazing to see what one person can do. Frosty has accomplished so much, and you see people just lolling along down the road, standing around in the store, doing nothing. What are they doing? What's driving them? What are they giving back? In most cases, nothing. All right, we'll be right back.